Hallelujah. Amen. Good to see you all. Even for the schools has been well. Amen. I'm glad to be back. It's been a while. With my family, the same greetings, and also from the church. They send their love and their prayer. Amen. And today, we, by the grace of God, we're going to share a message, today's vision. So, we look at mission's message. We're going to talk about the gospel of peace. Amen. The gospel of peace. I know we've often heard about the gospel of grace, heard about the gospel of the Lord, the gospel of salvation. I don't know how many of you have heard about the gospel of peace. So I believe today we shall have an understanding of what is the gospel of peace, and by the grace of God we shall understand that. We're going to take our reading from the book of Romans, chapter 10. We're going to read from the entire chapter until verse 17. Romans chapter 10. The Bible says, brethren, and this is Paul writing to the church in Rome, writing to them, telling them, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So he's speaking about the Israelites, that they have a zeal for God, they have a passion for God, but not according to knowledge. And this is also speaking about religious people. There are many people you'll find who are very religious. They have a zeal for God. They have a passion for God. You can see someone can do funny things and you ask them, why are you doing this? He's not doing it for God. But if God asks you to do this. So they have a zeal for God, but they lack knowledge. And this was the problem of the Israelites. Even today, it's a problem today, but not according to knowledge. Verse 3 says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seek to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Now this is very interesting. He's speaking about the Israelites have been looking for the righteousness of God. How do they look for the righteousness of God? By keeping the laws of Moses. Now, they are ignorant about the righteousness of God. What is righteousness of God? The right standing with God. How do we get right standing of God? Only through Christ. So the Bible is saying they are ignorant of God's righteousness and they seek to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Verse 4 would say, for Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to anyone who believes. That means keeping of the laws of Moses can no longer make anyone righteous because Christ is the end of it. But now it becomes the to everyone who believes. So there is an introduction of the righteousness of God that comes from believing. Then the Bible says, verse 5, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, it says that the man who does those things shall live by them. That means when Moses was teaching the righteousness of the law, anyone who does the things of the law must live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way, verse 6. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. Verse 8 says, but what does it say? Now we're speaking about the righteousness of faith. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now we speak about the righteousness of Christ, which is by the word that is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. And I want you to understand the two components of salvation. There is in your mouth and in your heart. That means these two have to agree. When we speak about the heart, we speak about your inner man. Anytime when someone says something, you need to ask what is their heart saying. Someone can be saying, I love you, but the person is saying, I really hate you. Their inner man is speaking something else. Someone can say you welcome and eat, but their inner person is saying, this food is not enough for two people. So, which one is it? Are you listening to? Amen? Now, God is saying, when you're speaking about salvation, God wants to hear both your mouth, which is what we can hear, and also God wants to hear to your heart. So you can easily come and stand before people and say, let me just be saved. Let everyone know that they are saved. But their heart has not yet accepted Jesus. So your heart, God looks at your heart and God listens to your heart. Your mouth, God listens to your mouth too. But more important, your heart is also very loud to God. That is something that you have to be very understand. So God is saying, what is the righteousness of faith? The one is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That means that there is a believing that you must believe in your inner man. You must believe in your heart that actually God raised Jesus from the dead. And because God raised Jesus from the dead, if I believe in the sacrifice of Jesus, I also receive forgiveness. That means that the forgiveness of sins is only available by the death and resurrection of Jesus. So you must actually believe it. That this person that died on the cross 2,000 years ago died for me. Now, the Bible tells us that the message of the cross is foolishness to the world. It is foolishness to the world. But to us who believe, it is the power of God. Now, it looks like a story, but if you believe it, then you receive right standing with God. Now, righteousness is right standing with God. God is the one that declares you are righteous before me. Now, the Bible says, with the mouth that you confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, there are people who say, yes, I believe in Jesus, but they have not yet confessed that he is Lord. When you call someone your Lord, you mean he is your ruler. When you call someone Lord, like if you have a landlord, he is the owner of your house. Now, when you say Jesus is my Lord, is Jesus really your owner? Or you do anything that you want to do? You don't obey his ways, you don't follow after his pattern, you don't do the things that Jesus did. Now, as you're saying, the righteousness that comes from God, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Verse 10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. So when you believe that you are forgiven, you actually feel like the weight has been taken away. Yes, you failed. Yes, you have sinned. Yes, you have made mistakes. But the moment you have come to God and God tell God, I am sorry, forgive me, and you receive the forgiveness of God, you actually have peace in your heart. So that's what the Bible says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. That means that you believe unto the righteousness of God. And then the Bible says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11 says, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. If you believe in Jesus, he will not put you to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. That means whatever you need from God is available. That means God is rich to all who call upon him. Verse 13 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, two components of salvation of the word of faith. Your heart believes unto righteousness. That means that you have right standing with God for the forgiveness of sins and the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And your mouth that confesses salvation. You call Jesus your Lord and Savior. Let us look at verse 14. Coming to the core of our message, the Bible says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on whom they have not heard?
And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings that is good news or good things. Verse 16, but have they not all obeyed the gospel? For Isaiah has said, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we see that believing will only come after someone has preached to you. When someone has preached to you, then you believe, but then you can, someone cannot preach unless they are sent. Now God says that those that are sent to preach the gospel, that their feet are beautiful. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace? Now you ask yourself, so what is different? What is this gospel of peace that we preach, that these beautiful people and beautiful people preach? And also very important, before we move away from that, there is believing, but there is also obedience. So you cannot say you believe and you don't obey. Verse 16 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. So the people who said, yeah, I believe what God has done. I believe on the finished works of Christ. But their lives don't reflect obedience. So obedience proves to us that you have truly believed. So let's come back to the definition. So whenever we say gospel, what do we mean by gospel? The gospel really means good news. And in the olden times, what will happen is that whenever kings will win, let's say you are in battle, you will send a messenger to go and shout, by the way, we have won. We have declared the victory. That person that was sent with a good message was a herald, was someone who was sent. So when you say that we are speaking about the gospel, we are proclaiming, we are making a message, we are announcing that there is good news. In fact, when we speak of gospel, at times people are describing it a message too good to be true. What is that? How can you announce this message that is too good to be true? That is the gospel. So we are declaring a victory, we are announcing an accomplishment, we are announcing a good news, a message that is too good to be true. What is peace? Peace is often described as a state of rest. When you are at peace, you have a state of rest, you are in a state of calmness, you are in a state of confidence, you have no fear, you have no internal commotion, and now peace has both been internal and external. When you have internal peace, that means you are at rest. There is nothing bothering you, or you have not allowed external things to bother you. So it's very important. So peace does not mean there is absence of trouble around you, but it means that you have entered into a state of rest in your heart and in your mind. Now, externally, peace refers to harmony, like in a home, a father and a mother are in good peace, children, the man, the wife, the children, there is harmony. There is coordination in the office. There is coordination, there is cooperation, there is agreement with one another, then you have peace. Even with neighbors, imagine you have peace with your neighbors. You can greet them in the morning, you can offer them some meat, some tea, some salt. But if you are not peace with your neighbors, if you don't have gas, and you cannot even go and ask for gas, you will still hungry. Why? Because you don't have peace with your neighbors. So peace is both internal and external. And of course, there can also be a period of rest. After people have been fighting, there's a time for war and a time for peace. Now, when we speak about the gospel of peace, we put these things two together, is the declaring that there is a good news, that God has offered an opportunity for every man to be at peace with God. God is offering and is declaring the good news that you have an opportunity to be at peace with me, and you can be free from the condemnation of sin. That means you are able to be forgiven, and you are given righteousness, right standing with God, and this is only through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. You receive the forgiveness of sins. God gives you a new slate. You are declared clean. You can start again. And then now you live a life of obedience to Him. Whenever Jesus will encounter people who are born into sin, the woman was caught into adultery. Jesus told her, "I do not condemn you. Your sins are forgiven." But she did not stop there. He said, "Go and sin no more." So, whenever we speak about the gospel speaks about what God offers to every man. God offers forgiveness. God offers righteousness. God offers peace. God declares, "You are no longer my enemy. You are my friend." And then He offers you a new day to start again. Your book, if it was a book of sin, it is wiped clean. Your slate is wiped clean. And then you can start again. And then He says, "Go and sin no more." So you are offered the opportunity to be forgiven, and then beyond that, to live a life of obedience. You know, whenever we think about peace, there are many things that take away our peace. Even Christians, you'll find that they don't have peace. What is the common thing that takes away our peace? Fear. We live in a world of lots of worries. People are worrying about tomorrow, worrying about their job, worrying about their food, worrying about their future. You can find that someone is not even at peace. There are people who died. I'm told of a beggar who died with millions under the bed. The person every day is begging, but they died when their bed was checked. They had millions. Now, let's tell you, this person was not living in peace. That means there is no time to even enjoy today. People die with so much money in the bank account, but they have never even bought a nice shirt for themselves. They don't think about tomorrow. They only think about tomorrow. They don't live for today. You can find yourself, you are worrying about tomorrow. There are people who are lack of jobs. You just lost your job. Or you lost your job for 9 months, 1 year, and that takes away your peace. People are worried about financial security. Maybe it's problems in the family, marital issues, challenges in the marriage. It can take away your peace. If your wife is not happy with you, even when you go to work, you will not be happy. You will struggle. Why? Because they have broken the peace. So peace is very important. Sicknesses, when you are going through sickness or a disease, it is possible to lack peace. Many times, even when you are spiritually dry, when you feel that God is far away from you, it can take away your peace. Why? Because in your heart you know, I am not going to church. I am not at peace. It's a reality. Unless you are close to God, you are not going to feel peace. At times, even attacks from the devil, maybe the dreams at night, demonic attacks, whenever there is conflict in countries, among nations, internal unrest, it can lead to a lot of lack of peace. Now, God has promised us that He wants us to walk in peace, and He wants us to understand what is the true peace. Because some people think that peace is what is the peace agreement. There are people who sign peace agreement, but they are not at peace. They have been forced to sign. I remember our president when they were signing the peace agreement, he said, is this like a Bible that does not have different versions? That means he's signing, but he's already in his mind, he's saying, we need to revise this, and we'll revise this again. So they have signed, but internally there is no real peace. That tells you that peace is only from God. So when we're speaking about the gospel of peace, we're going to understand. I'm going to give us some points about the gospel of peace. Number one, the gospel of peace is for all people. When the Bible tells us, when the angels, when Jesus was born, the shepherds were out in the field and they were watching their flock by night. And Luke chapter 2 verse 9 says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were afraid. the angel of the Lord said to them, do not be afraid, and say, peace, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of good tidings of great joy, which will be for all the people. And it says, for today, there is born to you in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The Bible says, and this will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That means that this was the witness of the angel. They declared when Jesus was born, a Savior has been born, and beyond that, peace towards all men. That means the gospel of peace is brought by the birth of Jesus. It is for all people. God wants to bring peace to all men. It's not just for special people. The peace is available for everyone. Number two, the gospel of peace is a message of reconciliation. Imagine you are at war with someone, or maybe there's someone you've been fighting, and you want to reconcile. You will send a message and say, I'm sorry, can we meet and talk over coffee? Can we meet and discuss? Can we understand one another? So, when we speak about the gospel of peace, we speak about what God is saying to man, to mankind. You remember, man is separated from God by sin. Because Adam sinned, every man sins. But God wants to reunite man back to him. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When you are in Christ, you are made new. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Verse 18 says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, that is, not counting men's sins against them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. When you're reconciling someone, that means that this person originally belongs to you. Every man belongs to God first, before sin took them away, before the devil took them away to sin. And God is saying that I was in Christ, reconciling the world to myself. This is the message of reconciliation. That he says, I am no longer counting men's sins against them. You know, if let's say someone messed you up, you can carry that pain against them. This person said this. They did this to me. They abused me. But when you say you have forgiven them, you forget those things that they have done against you. And you decide, you know what? You used to treat me badly when I was growing up, but I don't count it against you. Now, this is what God is doing. When he says that I was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and not counting men's sins against them, God is giving us the message of reconciliation. He's like, men, come back to me. I will not count your sins against you. Be reconciled back to me. And verse 20 says, now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So everyone that preaches the gospel, you're calling on men of different religion, men who are lost in the world, come back. Come back to your origin. come back to your owner, come back to your father. You belong to God first before the devil took you away. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. The Bible says, for he himself, referring to Christ, is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of the commandments containing ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, making peace. Verse 16, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enemy. And he came and preached peace. That is, Jesus came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near, for through him we have access by one Spirit to the Father. God is saying, I myself, Christ, I am your peace. And then I brought the Jews and the Gentiles and I made them one. I broke that wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles that was divided by commandments, and I created one new man in from the two, making peace, that I might reconcile them both, the Jews and the Gentiles, to God in one body through the cross. And he says he came and preached peace to the Gentiles who are far off and to the Jews who are near. And he says, through him we both have one access to the Father. So the gospel of peace is a message of reconciliation. God is saying, come back. Come back to me. Number three, the gospel of peace is a message of God's love and mercy. When we're speaking the gospel of peace, we are actually declaring the love of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. It says, but God. That means that there were problems there, but we were dead in sin, we were dead in trespasses, we were declared a thief for righteousness. But God, it can look like it's the end of the road for you, but there's a place that says, but God. Now, let's look at what but God says. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespass, when we were dead in sin, he has made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. It is only the grace of God that saves us. Verse 6, and raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The gospel of peace is a message of the gift of God, of the love of God, of the mercy of God, not of works that any man can boast. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for you to walk in. God so loved the world that he gave his best, his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, John chapter 3 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's only the devil that offers condemnation. It's only the devil that says that you cannot be forgiven. It's only the devil that says that it's too late for you. It's only the devil that reminds you that of your past sin, of your growing up, reminding you, oh, maybe this is why God is not blessing you. That is the voice of the devil. But the voice of God tells us, God did not send his Son to condemn us, but he sent his Son to give us life and salvation. That is the love of God. The gospel of peace, number four, is about the Prince of Peace. I love the way it's put in Arabic, Amir al-Salam, the Prince of Peace. That's, you know, in Arabic, they say, Amir, Prince. Whenever we speak about the scriptures, if you read Isaiah chapter 9, it says, 6, for to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The name of Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The name of Jesus is also God, Everlasting God. The name of Jesus is also Wonderful. The name of Jesus is Counselor. The name of Jesus is Everlasting Father. So when people say, "Where is Jesus God?" you can show them this verse. Then verse 7 says, which is very important, it says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." What is saying? The moment you come to me, when you come to Christ, there are things about God in you that are going to increase. And one of them is his government and peace. The more you understand God, the more God gives you peace, even in the midst of storm. There is a peace of God that surpasses human understanding. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. It says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There are things you can have carried on your back, pain, sicknesses, troubles, and God is saying, "Come to me. You will labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." People are tired of work. People want to retire, but there is no option. You need a job. There are times bosses are on your neck and you're like, "God, I want to quit." And he said, "Come to me." You've carried your sin, you've carried your human effort, you've carried your abilities. And God is saying, "These things cannot be done in human effort." There are certain things that God will only do in your life through the grace of God, through his mercy, through his peace. And he says, "Come to me, all you who are heavy, who you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for us, for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you want to do things on your own way, it will be hard. It will be hard. But if you want to do things the way of God, it will be easy. If you're in a wrong relationship and you know God has told you this is wrong, stop. If you're in a wrong association, wrong organization, wrong agreement, wrong business with the wrong person, and God is saying, "Take my yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Learn from me." The gospel of peace is about the Prince of Peace. And I know someone will be asking, is this verse in Matthew chapter 10 that says, Jesus said, I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be those of his own house. This is Matthew 10, verse 49, verse 7. It says, "He who loves the father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it.
Somebody will ask, and why is it sounding like a contradiction? You see, when Jesus brings his message of peace, that message will give you peace. But it can also cause chaos to you and your family. We have here people here who, the moment they turn to Christianity, their parents abandon them. Their wives abandon them. They have lost everything. They have lost wealth. They have left land because they turned to Jesus. If they go back to their old religion, they will be accepted, yes. They will be given the money. But because they turn to Jesus, this is the war that it brings. It brings you into conflict between you and the world, you and your past life. It will mean even separation from your family if they are not following after Jesus. That is the sword that comes. And that's what the Bible says. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. 1 Corinthians 1:18. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. He is the Prince of Peace, yes, but also the Prince of Peace, he declares war on darkness. Amen? He declares war on the devil. That's why the Bible says, "I saw Satan
fall like lightning. Number five, the gospel of peace is God's answers to the life challenges.
Jesus was telling his disciples, John 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Imagine your Savior promising the disciples, that promising you and me that in this world you're going to have tribulation. Which other places promise tribulation? In marriage. The Bible says also in marriage, in this many tribulation. Jesus was not excusing us from trouble in this world. Trouble will come. There are times when you will be in conflict. There are times you will be in pain. There are times you will be asking God, where are you? But the Bible says, in me, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. That means in Christ, when you settle in Christ, you can be at peace in the midst of the storm. That's why Jesus will sleep in the midst of the storm. I think the disciples wake him up and say, Master, don't you care that we die? Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God is saying, when you are worried about many things, say, don't be worried about them, but in everything, prayer. Pray and what? Supplication. That means bring it to God. And then it says, with thanksgiving. As you are asking God, you say, God, I still pray. It looks like my situation has not changed, but I'm still thankful. It looks like I may not be where I want to be, but I'm still thankful. It looks like things are still not working out, but I thank you that I am alive. People wanted to be alive. They are not alive today. The Bible says, let your requests be made known to God. It is okay to ask God. And tell God, God, I need this. Make your request known to God. And then after that, when you have prayed, when you have thanked God, when you have offered it without fear, without worry, the Bible says there's something called the peace of God. He gives you the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart. There is a need to guard your heart. Why do you guard your heart? People can abuse you and you're smiling. Someone will call you stupid, and you smile, you say, it's okay. Why? Because there is a guard in your heart that says that, you know what, I'm not stupid. Someone can call you, you're a goat. You say, but I look like a human being. Why? Because there is a peace of God that guards your heart in Christ Jesus. What is it that will make you lose your job and you still smile? You still come to church. You're still happy. Why? Because there is a peace of God that tells you that, you know what, you're still my child. I still love you. I'm concerned for you. I know your future. God knows your future. God knows. It might look like there's trouble. Every day you're in trouble, trouble. Today you're okay, tomorrow there's trouble. Today you're okay. Will you be dancing up and down? One day you're praying, the next day you are happy. One day you're crying, the next day you're happy. Hey! When will you have peace? Peace is when you understand that your peace does not come from your spouse. Your peace does not come from your job. Your peace does not come from your children. Everybody is happy when I see my children and my peace. They can die. Oh, God forbid. They can become sick. Your child can abuse you and say, you are not my father anymore. Yes, they are doing it today. The children are just telling me, I don't care about you. Are you going to kill yourself? If you kill yourself, it is because they were the source of your peace. If your wife divorces you and you lack peace, it is because she was the source of your peace. But peace must come from God. The Bible says it will guard your heart
and a mind through Christ Jesus. Romans 14 verse 17 says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That means righteousness is important. Peace is important. Peace from Christ and joy in the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Prince of Peace is Christ. So if you have Christ, He gives you peace. And then 2 Peter tells us, verse 1 and 2, grace and peace be multiplied. That means God can multiply grace and peace to you in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. The more you know about Jesus, the more peace you have. The more peace you have. Number 6, the gospel of peace flows from the Spirit of peace. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of peace. That's what the Bible tells us, the fruit of the Spirit. That means when you have received the seed of the Spirit, what comes out of you is the fruit of the Spirit. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. So when you have the Spirit of God, you receive the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit comes out, and that is peace. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That means there is one body and one Spirit, as you are called in one hope and one calling. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of peace. James 3, verse 18, it says, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Jesus, when he is in the Matthew, he says that, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I want to finish with this aspect of number 7, which says that we must always be ready to preach the gospel of peace. We have read our Bible, Romans 10, 15, that how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, when it speaks about the whole armor of God. Verse 14, it says, stand therefore with your waist girded with the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and verse 15, having your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. That means that any time you meet someone and they're in trouble, speak a word of peace. That's why they will say, when you go and visit someone, say shalom, peace, peace be unto you. Look at Luke chapter 10, when Jesus was sending out his disciples, he said, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two by two, his face before them to every place in every city. And he said to them, the harvest is truly great, and the laborers are few. Pray for the land of the harvest to send out laborers into the field. And verse 3 says, go your way, behold, I send you a lamb among wolves, carrying neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandal, and greet no one on the road. But whatever house you enter, say, is peace to this house. And if a son of peace, if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they gave you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So when you're preaching to people, when you are ready to preach the gospel of peace, you meet someone in wrath, tell them, don't worry, you will change one day. You're already telling them, you're preaching the gospel of peace. Tell them, it's okay, enjoy it now, but God will still use you in this world. You're going to serve God. You speak a word of prophecy over that child that is lost. You speak a word of prophecy over your family. Someone over the house, you say, you know what? We are going to have peace in this world. We are going to have peace. We can't live in chaos. Why? Because we are of the Prince of Peace. Always be ready to preach the gospel of peace. What I will say, the gospel of peace is a declaration of the good news that God has offered an opportunity for men to be at peace with Him. free from condemnation of sin, forgiven and given righteousness that is right standing with God through the work of Jesus on the cross, for the forgiveness of sins and obedience to Him. So the gospel of peace is really the gospel of Christ. It's the gospel of the grace of God. It's the gospel for all people. It's a message of reconciliation. Be reconciled back to God. It's a message of God's love and mercy. God loves His people. God's rich in mercy and love. It's a message about the Prince of Peace. It's God's solution to the challenges of life. In me you have peace. In this world you have trouble. The gospel of peace flows from the spirit of peace. The Bible tells us we must always be ready to preach the gospel of peace. Let us stand then as we receive that word. And the question I will ask, are you at peace for the ability that you have allowed to take away your peace? What is that that you've given so much power to take away your peace, rather than you resting in the peace of God, receiving and bearing the fruit of peace? The kingdom of God is not in bread, eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. God says, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication. Present your request to God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding shall guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Just take a moment to bring everything that has been bothering you to the cross. Bring it to Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you that indeed you have declared that you are the man of peace. You are the Prince of Peace, the God of all peace, the God of all righteousness, the God of all reconciliation, the God that desires that each and every man be reconciled back to Him. That you declare that be reconciled back to God. That you are in Christ, reconciling the world to yourself, not counting men's sins against them. And you've given us this word, be reconciled back to God. Every man that hears the word, you have an opportunity to come back to God. But I thank you for everyone that is crying out, everyone that is longing back for you, everyone that is saying, God, I need you. I am lost without you, I am away from you, I plead your mercy. Father, I thank you that you are the God of all peace, you are the God of all reconciliation, you are the God of all mercy. I thank you for every need that is here. You know the challenges, you know the struggles, you know the pain, you know the disappointment of God, you know the issues in the workplace, in the nations of God. May the God of all peace increase to the hearts of men, O God. In this world, yes, we shall have trouble, but in you we have peace, because you have overcome the world. Tell us to be of good cheer. Father, I thank you that we receive the peace of God, that the peace of God that surpasses human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Our thoughts are guided by your love. Our thoughts, our minds are guided by your peace, O God. Let that peace flow in our hearts, O God. A peace that surpasses all situations. A peace that is above human errors and human mistakes. A peace that is above all worries of this world. I thank you, our God of peace. And I thank you for those that have committed their hearts to you again. Cleanse them, O God. Purify them, O God, and make them anew. Give them that grace and ability to walk in obedience to your love and to your truth. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Wow, glory to God. How are you this morning? It's now afternoon. Wasn't I getting right? I won't keep us long, but when Pastor was praying, when I was just receiving the ministration of prayer, the Holy Spirit dropped counsel into my spirit. And this is what I want each one of us to do. This week, when you go to every place, starting from today. So when you live here, when you enter your house, I want you to say, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, reign in this house. When you go to your office, I want you to say, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, reign in this office. When you go to your business, I want you to decree, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, reign in this business. I just received counsel that everything we see was formed by the Lord speaking. God said, let there be light. Let there be day and night. Let there. So as believers, if we do not learn to walk in our authority and decree what we want to see, we will not be able to walk in it. God just dropped this counsel that some of us, we've been in situations and we've been in environments that we are not happy about. But we are not changing them because we are not speaking what we want to see. So I want you to take that counsel, because for me, I've taken it. And I've told God, from today, by the ministration of the word, I refuse chaos in my life. I refuse it. I refuse chaos around me. I refuse chaos in the organization I'm in. Because that's where I'm at. That's why I am there, in the lack of work. I refuse chaos in my family. No. But see, you've got to agree with what heaven is saying. So that is counsel that has come from the altar. That Christ is the Prince of Peace. There are so many things stealing our peace. But we need to agree with the counsel that has come from God. That you have the power and the authority to say, Christ, the Prince of Peace, I want you to reign. And you tell God, this I do not want. When I was in Kenya, my pastor told me something. Anything happening around you, you have somehow agreed and allowed this to happen. And he told me, the basis of the scripture is when Jesus said, whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So he told me, when you say, let thy kingdom come, you are agreeing that the kingdom of the earth, there's a scripture that says, and now the kingdoms of the world shall be subject to the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of the Father. So unless you agree and you tell God and you tell yourself and you tell every principality around you that from today, the Prince of Peace has got to reign in this place. I'm not going to lose sleep over this matter. What an amazing word. Can we just thank God for 1 minute before we say the next? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you give us what we need when we need it. There's somebody saying, I look unto the mountains and the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I am not without help. As a child of God, I am not without help, because my help comes from the Lord. As a church, Peach City Assemblies of God, we are not without help, because our help comes from the Lord. And today we receive the counsel from the word. We receive the instruction through your servants this morning, this afternoon, that indeed our help is in Christ. Christ is the Prince of Peace. We refuse, we reject every spirit of chaos. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. That peace comes from the spirit of peace. That tells me if there is a spirit of peace, that it is possible to have a spirit of chaos. And so today we stand on the word that we have received. Holy Spirit, we welcome you by the fruit, every fruit, the 9 fruits of the Spirit. May we walk in them this week and the rest of the year. Jesus, have your way. Let your peace reign in
written in our minds.
Ah, lebo se kata, leba se kata.
We rise against every spirit of mental torture, mental torture over your children, over your church this morning. We decree the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. Christ, the peace that you give us is not like the world. And so we decree your peace over our offices, over our teams, oh God, over our families, over our extended families, oh God. Ah, over the city that you have placed us in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this word. We thank you for this word. Every arrow of the enemy, every noontime arrow, every midnight arrow sent to steal our peace, we rise against. Now, in the name of Jesus, we decree today by the word of God that has been released on this altar, reversed in the name of Jesus. Every evil arrow is reversed back to the center, back to the pit of hell. In the name of Jesus, we walk in the peace that Christ has purchased for us in Calvary. Ah, God, we thank you. We thank you for this word. Thank you for giving us a timely word. Thank you for giving us a timely word. We pray for every child of God in this sanctuary that is not here, any pastor that belongs to this congregation, which is the Assemblies of God, that is not here for one reason or another, and the enemy is trying to steal their peace. We send a word of peace over their lives in the name of Jesus, and we decree that your children receive peace and total deliverance, and they are delivered to come back to the sanctuary with joy. The kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we speak peace. Every place the enemy has stolen peace from your children, today I take authority by your word. I send peace. I speak peace. I decree peace. They are restored into the house of God. They are restored into the house of God. In the name of Jesus, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We decree righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that is our standard. The enemy has no legal ground, because by the blood of Jesus, by the finished work of Jesus on Calvary, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are hidden under the blood. Every family here, hidden under the blood. Hidden under the blood. The children represented here, even the children of the members of this church that are not here in other countries, we said that word, hidden under the blood of Jesus. Enemy, you have no authority over them that are marked by the blood of the Lamb. We overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We are decreed today, by virtue of the authority God has given me today to end the service, I stand as a priest and a Levite on this altar, and I decree for every member of which city Assemblies of God, hidden under the blood of Jesus, marked by the Lamb, marked by the blood of. We decree our families for God. Our families for God. Our families for God. We stand on the word of the year for this church. Our families for God. Every member of our family that is not born again, by that word, we capture them. We bring them into the kingdom of God. We decree under the blood. They are purchased by the blood. We set the word of salvation. Today we have been taught that we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouth. We decree, let the angels of God pursue them, send a messenger to them, bring them to the place of confession of their mouth. Most of them believe that, but they are not confessing. We ask today, by the word that has been released, they believe in their heart, they confess that Christ is God, and they come into the fold of the Lamb, of the Lamb's book of life, and they are part of your family, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord. What a timely word. What a timely word. In a world full of cares, we decree we are exempted by the blood. We are exempted by the blood. In a world full of cares, we decree, we agree as your children, we are accepted from darkness and chaos. We walk in perpetual peace of God. We walk with a revelation that it is not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. So we have overcome. We are more than conquerors, because Christ said, he who that is in us is greater than he who is in the world. So every evil altar that speaks contrary to the altar of our God, today we silence them by the authority, by the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name, we silence every evil altar in the name of Jesus. Altars meant to put people in chaos, in situations. Some of them are being used without an understanding of God. We take authority. We silence every evil altar in the name of Jesus. Lord, show your people mercy. Even those that have no knowledge of what they are being used to do, Lord, we pray for them. Show them mercy, O God. Show them mercy. They are your children. They are your creation, O God. Ah, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We receive a spirit of boldness like Joshua to say, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. In a generation that is perverse, in a generation that is spreading lies day and night, in a generation where there is so much deception, that we shall stand to be counted that we are the righteousness of God. And for us and our families, we choose to walk in the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we are walking with you out of this service. Our week is blessed. The end of June is blessed. The remaining half of 2025-26 is blessed. And I'm going to walk with us. We give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Hold somebody's hand and share the grace of the Lord with them. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Shalom. Say hello to somebody. Enjoy a cup of tea with somebody. Ask somebody that you've not seen for a while. Ask them, how are you doing? How has the service been for you? And be blessed as you go home. And remember to bring somebody next Friday. Do not come by yourself. Bring somebody to the service. Amen.
Finish my order.